You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning. How's everyone going?
Good.
It's good to see you. If you're in the room this morning, I'm so glad that you're able to be here. It's good to see some people back from holidays, see some people visiting. If you're online this morning, God bless you. I can't wait for you to be back in the room as well. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Lee, the pastor here at Gateway, and it's my honor to be able to bring the teaching of the Word to you today, to be able to share the Word of the Lord with you today. You know, another thing that I'm grateful for is in that every season, God wants to speak to us through His Word. In every season. Not just when you feel like you're at the end of your tether. Every season, He wants to reveal His heart to each and every single one of us, to His church. And my prayer for you and I today, my prayer for those of you who are watching online either today or at a later time, is that God speaks to your heart and reignites the fire in your heart. Even as Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which was in you through the laying on of hands." There is a gift of God in you. There is a fire that God has placed in you. And this morning, let the Word of God fan it into flame. And then you take the Word and continue fanning it into flame. Amen? See, God has not merely called us to survive life. Surviving life, it's not enough. Just getting by is not enough. And I want to encourage you today, if you've felt like you've been in a season of survival, can I encourage you today? It's time to be delivered from survival. God wants to deliver you from survival. When God called you, He called you to flourish. He called you to follow Him as a disciple. He called you to a life of devotion in the ways of Jesus. That's what He's called you to. It's fair to say that in this life, there are many things that you can choose to be devoted to. Many things. We can devote to being better people, to being healthier people. We can devote to supporting others. We can devote to ourselves. We can devote to community benefit, amongst many other individual things that we can have devotion to. You know, the last 2 years has challenged the devotion and character of Christians across the globe. There is no doubt about it. See, in essence, some of the things that I just mentioned that we can devote ourselves to, they're not necessarily bad things to offer devotion to. But as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, what should be the first port of call for our devotion? What should we be devoted to or in devotion to? Firstly, I want to encourage you with these simple things. First port of call, be devoted to Jesus as a disciple. First port of call. Like everything else needs to come second to that. First port of call, be devoted to Jesus as a disciple. Secondly, be devoted to follow His ways. And I know it sounds really, so that's easy, Lee. Of course it is. But you know it's also biblical? It's a biblical narrative that we need to follow as devoted followers of Jesus. Matthew 28, 18 through to verse 20 says this, "Jesus came and told His disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you.'" All the commands I've given you are the ways of Jesus. He didn't say, "Hey, do this." No, He showed them, "These are my ways. Follow them. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, I want to put this out there. This passage is very, very clear about go and make disciples and teach those new disciples to obey the ways of Jesus. Very, very, very clear. But can I put it out there this morning? I'm going to do it anyway if you say no. To make disciples, we must first be disciples. To make disciples, we must first be disciples. And to teach his ways, we must live his ways. It's so important. I want to encourage you, if you've been in your workplace for any length of time, whether it's 6 months, 12 months, 10 years, and you've been witnessing to someone and you're hoping that they receive the hope of Jesus, can I ask the question, have you been devoted to living as a disciple and showing his ways in your workplace for the last 10 years? Because if you haven't, there's probably a reason why they don't want to hear what you've got to say. You're saying one thing and being and doing another. Can I encourage you? To make disciples, we must first be disciples. What does a disciple of Jesus look like? A heart that's just after him. A heart that doesn't tear people down. The heart that lifts people up. A heart that sees someone going through a hard time and doesn't distance themselves. A heart that is after the holiness and ways of Jesus. See, when Jesus called his disciples, the call was simple. Come follow me. That was the call, the simple call. Come follow me. So where are we going? Is it going to be fun? No, there was no, it was like, come follow me. Either you're in or you're not. And although such a simple call, the implications for us to follow Jesus are significant. Let's talk real for a moment. Amen. Although a simple call to follow Jesus, the implications of what we have to take out of our lives to follow Jesus are significant. We're called to a relationship and daily discipleship that lives in devotion to Christ and his ways. It's not a Sunday thing. It's a daily devotion to follow him and his ways. Let me explain it like this. This may help you understand it. For those of you who have courted, become engaged, and then married, at the beginning of your courting and your engagement, the devotion is high. High probably doesn't explain how high the devotion is. Flirting, catching a glimpse across the room. Just looked at my wife as I said that. A touch of the hand, the whisper of a word. It's such a wonderful and beautiful season. And I want to encourage you, it's not meant to finish once you get married. The mystery, the devotion, the commitment are meant to increase as you become more emotionally connected and aware of each other. This is the fruit of your devotion to each other. So I want to encourage each of us today that the devotion and discipleship that you start out with when you met Jesus is the same devotion that he wants to spark in you today. Once you're married, once you're saved, it should continue to grow, amen? It should continue to build. It should be exciting. There should be a mystery that's revealed. Stir up the gift. Fan your relationship with God. Stop surviving the wilderness and step into the promises that God has on your life. Join Jesus in being devoted to his ways. Pursue holiness. I want to encourage you, holiness isn't something out there that we're like, Lord, I just need to catch up to your holiness. When you get saved, he puts it in you. It's right there. You just need to tap into his holiness that he's put in you. There's no race down the road to see who gets his holiness first. I've got to beat that person. I need to attain the holiness before that person does. Or there's competitive people out there. Any competitive people in church this morning? Don't be shy. There's competitive people. Looking at my son and his cousin sitting next to each other, just so ridiculously competitive. They could lose their cousinship over how competitive they are. Is cousinship a thing? It is now. TM. Pursue the holiness that he's given you. Exercise compassion. Exercise empathy. Use the gifts of the Spirit. Reject religious living. Reject religious living. What's religious living? It looks right, but under the surface, it's like not good. On the surface, everything looks right, but at the nightclub, it's all wrong. On the surface, everything looks good, but when the doors close to the office, what's on the screen, it's all wrong. Reject religious living. It will tear you apart. It will leave you in pieces. That is not God's promise over your life. See, religious living, it cultivates this need in us to show how good we are. I want to encourage, let's reject it. Let's reject judging others based on feelings or man-made narratives. Instead, implement the heart and the practices that Jesus displayed, that he showed us. You know, that word devotion, in the dictionary, it's got this picture of passionate fervor. It's not something that you pick up and put down. It's a passionate fervor that overrides your life. We can have passionate fervor for lots of things. Where are you placing your passionate fervor in your devotion? It's an act of prayer or worship, but I love this last one. Does anyone else love this last one as much as I love this last one? An exercise or practice other than regular corporate worship of a congregation. It just goes through your whole life. It just goes through your whole family. It just goes through every day when you wake up. And it doesn't mean that you're walking around like in a robe. It means that Jesus is just present in your mind throughout the day. You put a worship song and it just takes, yes, that. I just want to lift a little bit of worship just for a moment today. See, devotion to the ways of Jesus is, it's daily, it's personal, it has a cost, and it's active outside of Sunday. The daily devotion to Jesus. I want to share a little bit of an example for us out of Mark 10 verses 17 to 27 today. Many of you may be familiar with this passage of Scripture. If this is the first time you've heard it, this is Jesus talking to someone who's noted in the Bible as the rich young ruler. He was a successful individual, was living well, was doing the right things according to society's narrative. And this is how it goes. As he was setting out on a journey, this is Jesus, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do so that I may inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." That's a whole nother scripture, a whole nother message right there, right? Another day. "You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth." And looking at him, Jesus showed love to him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have the treasure in heaven. Come follow me." Now, just to put you at ease this morning, my message to you this morning isn't sell everything you've got to follow Jesus. Oh, I thought that was funnier than it came across. Maybe you were actually like, it was like, you're like, "Oh, thank God." That's not my message today. But verse 22 says this, "But he was deeply dismayed by these words, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property." And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus responded again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were even more astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, With people, it's impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible. With God, all can be saved. Amen. See, this individual was of the mind that I have kept the commands of not sinning. I have stayed true to the ways of my youth. I have allowed it to permeate my life all the way through to adulthood. He exercised God's gold standard for his life. Like, he was doing it so, so well. Everyone can see that I'm exercising God's standards upon my life. But in that moment, Jesus looks at his heart and asks, what's the one thing that you're not willing to let go of? What's the one thing? You're doing all the things that the Bible says that you should do, but what's the one thing that you're holding in here that no one else can touch? What's the one thing that hasn't been permeated by the ways of Jesus? What's the one thing that keeps you away from entering full devotion with me? What's the one thing that's off limits, that's stopping you from entering into the full life that I have for you? And so my question to each and every single one of us today is, what's the one thing? What's the one thing that challenges us to our very core, that potentially is stopping us from entering into daily devotion and following the ways of Jesus? You know, Jesus' explanation was how hard it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. And I just want us to pause for a moment. Often when we think about being wealthy in something, we think about finances. It's part of the narrative, the way that our economy is set up, that when we think about wealth, our mind is automatically drawn to how much money do you have in the bank, or how many houses do you own, or do you have a car collection worth $3 million? Do you have one? I'd love to drive one of them. Amen. But my question is for all of us, including myself, is what could be that one thing in our life that we're wealthy within our heart? What have you stored up in your heart as wealth that, yeah, it could be money. It could be opinion. Are you wealthy in opinion? Got an opinion for everything. Are you wealthy in being right? You have to be right all the time. Have you stored up that need to be right in your heart, and it stops you from entering the full devotion that God's got for you? Are you wealthy in knowledge? Are you wealthy in judgment? Are you wealthy in insecurity? Can I invite you, whatever comes to your mind that you feel like you could be wealthy in, can you just insert it there and say, God, I don't want that one thing in my life anymore. I want to give that thing up so that I can enter into full devotion with you. What's your heart rich in other than devotion? But I want to encourage you today. You might look at those things. I've tried to deal with those things so many times. Can I encourage you? It's time for you to stop dealing with those things. And allow the Holy Spirit to come and speak to you about how you are going to deal with those things with Him leading and guiding you. And the encouragement from that passage of Scripture again, but not with God, all things are possible with God. You might look at those things, it's like, I've been wealthy in those things for so long that it's so hard to give, but not with God, all things are possible. You don't have to be wealthy in those things anymore. Those things don't need to control your narrative anymore. With devotion and discipleship and following the ways of Jesus, giving over those areas, those pieces of our hearts that have been off limits, everything is possible with God. See, when you live a life of devotion to Jesus, He trains you and releases you for purpose. There has to be a reason to empty those things from our hearts and follow Him and follow His ways. There has to be a reason for it. I love this picture in this passage of Matthew 10, verse 1 to 3. And it's this picture where Jesus gets His disciples, His apostles, and he sends them out to do a great work. This is what it says in verse 1. Jesus calls His 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of His 12 apostles. First, Simon, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus. I want to encourage you today that Jesus trains those who follow him to do the things that he needs them to outwork, whether it's in your workplace, your family, your community, your relationship with him, your relationship with others. Wherever it is that God has called you to be and outwork your giftings and skills, when you follow him in devotion, when you exercise his ways, he trained you up. This picture of these disciples is they've followed him for an extensive period of time in depth and detail. And it gets to this point, it's like, you're ready. You're ready. I'm releasing you to do exactly what it is that I've called you to do. So for each of us today, can we choose for this year to be a year of devotion that we've never entered into before? You're like, I've been devoted my whole life. I agree. You have been devoted your whole life. That's why you're here today, amen. But can we step into a deeper devotion than we've ever been before? Can we acknowledge that relationships are meant to go deeper and more connected over time? Let this year be a year of deeper discipleship, of training and being released into the purposes of God. Let your relationship with God be wonderful and on fire, amen? In light of the last 2 years have been a challenge for Christians across the globe to stay true to the devotion. You know, perhaps the last 2 years for you and your faith has been one of surviving at times. Can I put my hand up there? It's been a challenging 2 years, amen. Like, I haven't had it all together over the last 2 years. Just following Jesus and holding on sometimes. Can I encourage all of us today? Let's re-enter the life of devotion and discipleship and all that you've been called to and set apart for. Jesus is calling you personally today to a devoted relationship with him. Let your heart be softened by his deep love today. Let your heart be softened by his deep love today. The Christian faith of a disciple at times can be distracted to focus on other things. Things that are either not the ways of Jesus, things that are religious traditions, even things that are a deception from the devil. Now, I just want to encourage you today, if this is you today and you find yourself in a moment of distraction from the ways of Jesus, don't sit in denial any longer. Don't sit in rebellion any longer. Don't sit in shame or any other false reality that's not yours a moment longer. Come back to Jesus. Come back to a devoted relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. I urge all of us today, let's focus on the ways of Jesus and commit to a deeper devotion with Jesus. Wherever you find yourself today, whether you're in the room watching online, wherever you find yourself in your journey of faith today, the fresh start begins today. Whatever's happened in the last week, what's happened in the last 6 months, last 2 years, the fresh start begins today, amen. God has good things for each and every single one of us. God has good things for you. Let's have a fresh start and step into the promises, amen. You know, maybe you've been living away from God, been walking your own way. I just want to encourage you, recommit to living a life of devotion, or perhaps even for the first time, maybe you haven't committed your life to Jesus before. Maybe you haven't received his salvation. Maybe you haven't received his offer of forgiveness for the sins and the life that you've lived. But this moment is a moment today for each and every single one of us either to start fresh or start for the first time in following Jesus. See, the good news for each and every single one of us today, but I speak to you as individuals today, the good news for you today is that Jesus was sent by God to make a way for your sins to be forgiven and you to come back in a beautiful relationship with God. He created a way for you to be known, loved, and forgiven by God. And it says in John 3, 16 and 17, For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. God sent his Son into the world to save you through him. Just in this moment, this morning, can we just close our eyes? You know, if you don't know Jesus personally today, I just want to encourage you that this is a precious moment for you to come into a beautiful relationship with God, to know what it is to be known and loved by a loving Heavenly Father. It's because Jesus sent his Son. God sent his Son Jesus to die on a cross, to be buried and rise again on the third day for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, if that's you today, can I encourage you? I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me in just a moment. It's a prayer of acknowledging that Jesus is Lord, repenting your sins and choosing to follow him in devotion to him. Church, can I invite you to pray the prayer with me? If you're watching online, this is your moment to receive Jesus in the room. This is your moment to come back to Jesus, start a fresh relationship. Why don't we pray? Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die on a cross, be buried, and rise again on the third day. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and he rose again. I repent of my sin. I surrender my life and I choose to follow you in beautiful devotion. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, you prayed it again because you've sort of been doing your own thing for a bit, can I encourage you? I would love to speak to you after the service. Just come up and tap me on the shoulder and say, I just need to have a chat for a bit. Or if you came with somebody else and you feel more comfortable talking to them, it doesn't worry me who you talk to. Just don't leave it there. There's so much more for you every day in your relationship with God. And it's going to require you to exercise the ways of Jesus to get there. If you're watching online today, you can go to gc.org.au/first steps. Information of how to get in contact with us, but also information with Bible and worship and what to do next in following Jesus.